So we are holding on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the sixth line of the wide lines. Amud Rabbo. Hello? Orin Miklot Lenitnu Lekvura. So Rabbo says the Orin Miklot are not meant for burial. Meaning the Levium or whoever else. We'll get to that one second. But he says the Orin Miklot are not meant for burial. So the Levium and whatever who live there, they have to bury their mason elsewhere. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that the outskirts of the city, the open area around the city, should be for their animals, and for their property, and l'chochayotam. So the simple understanding, you would say l'chochayotam means for all their animals, but we already said behemtam. So what does l'chochayotam mean? L'chayim nitnu v'loy l'kvura. It means that the Orei Miklot are meant for them to live. They're not meant for them to be buried there.
Normally, a chayot is wild animals.
And that's exactly why the Gemara Darshan can't mean chayotim, they're wild animals, because why do they have wild animals?
Right.
And then you can't domesticate them anyway.
Right.
So therefore, that's why the Gemara understands that l'chochayotim means for all their living purposes, meaning l'chayim nifnu v'loy l'kvura. They're meant for living, they're not meant for burial.
So why the term is straightforward?
Because chayotim means for their chayos. Meitzvah, the Gemara says, though, I have a contradiction. We learned in the Mishnah, Shama, that the Ritzeach runs away to there, and we said, Shamtei Dirase, Shamtei Misase, Shamtei Kvurase. We said, there he lives, there he has to live, there he dies, and there he's buried. The answer is, Ritzeach Shaini, the Gali Berachmana. The difference is that Ritzeach is different, because the Torah specifically states, based on that word Shama, that he should be buried there.
Only
the Ritzeach is buried, and even the Ritzeach, we discussed yesterday, that eventually, after the Kohen Gadol dies, his family can, or maybe even must, take his bones, and rebury it in his family plot.
Mm-hmm.
So even, we said yesterday, we mentioned Minchas Chinuch had a topic on that, is it that they have to take him, or is it they're allowed to take him? But anyway, so yes, the Ritzeach is allowed to be buried there, either temporarily or permanently, as the case may be, because that's the Pasuk says so, but the Levium are not. The Levium or the other citizens of the Orei Miklot, no, they have to bury their mason elsewhere. We said in the Mishnah, Kishem Sher Ilkelet, we said just as the city itself is Kolet, save the Ritzeach, so also the Tchum is Kolet. And then if the Ritzeach leaves the Tchum, then what happens? So the question is, what do you mean the Tchum is Kolet? The Gemara assumes that when it says the Tchum is Kolet, means that he can live in the Tchum. He doesn't necessarily have to live in the city proper. So the question is, Raminu, I have a contradiction. A Brisa says, a Yashav Bach, it says you should live in it in the city, meaning Bach will live in Tchum. You should only live in the city itself, not in the Tchum.
So it's a contradiction.
Amar Abaya, Lekasha, Kan Lislay, Kan Lodra. No, but there's two different things. To live there, it's true. He's not allowed to live in the Tchum, he has to live in the city itself. But that the tchum is not so much the suburbs, but the 2,000 amets around the city.
Right.
Tchum Shabbos. Yeah. The way it was with the Orei Alevim is you had the city itself, then you had around it. So you have a few different opinions within the Gemara itself, and then among the Rishonim, how exactly it was laid out. You have the Pasuk mentions the Pasuk mentions a belt of 1,000 amets around the city. Then it mentions a belt of 2,000 amets around the city. So the Rambam understands that it means there's both. There's a belt of 1,000 amets around the city, which is empty, but to make the city look nice. And beyond that, there's a belt of another 2,000 amets, which is where they'd have their fields and vineyards and whatnot. And many of the other Mephoshim on the Pasuk, and also based on the Gemara and Erevin that discusses the configuration of it, they understand that it means that out of that 2,000 amos, 1,000 amos is empty space, and the other 1,000 amos is the fields and vineyards. And the Gemara and Erevin over there has a half dozen different understandings of how exactly the configuration was. Are the fields and vineyards in the corners? Are they on the sides? Are they whatever?
And
yeah.
The
tchum. So if we say that it's all within 2,000 amos, the tchum Shabbos would end where the vineyards end. If you say with the Rambam that you have 1,000 amos empty space and then 2,000 amos of fields and vineyards, it means the tchum Shabbos ends in the middle of the fields and vineyards. So 2,000 amos from the edge of the city. Yeah. Anyway. So here, what we're saying is, can Liklot, can Lodger, that the tchum should save him, that's true. It doesn't mean that he can live there on an ongoing basis. To live, he has to live in the actual city. Can Liklot, to save him, the tchum helps as well. As soon as he gets into the tchum, he's safe from the Goyla job. And if he were to walk out into the tchum also, he'd still be safe from the Goyla job. But can Lodger, with the Braisa that says that the Yashav Bo, means he can't live there on a regular basis. He has to live in the city. Yeah, the question is, what do you mean? Lodder, so what do you mean? And what's the chiddush? That he can't live in the tchum. Typically, you have a different reason to say that he's not allowed. So you're not allowed to build houses to live in the migrash in the first place. The enos in hello. The enos in sodra migrash, while migrash sodra. Well, migrash ir, while ir migrash. The din is, we learn in Erchin, that you're not allowed to, based on Stokim over there, that you're not allowed to turn the part of the field, and you're not allowed to take parts of the field and turn them into migrash, into empty space, or turn the migrash into fields, or to turn the migrash into part of the city, or turn this part of the city into the migrash. Everything has to stay the way it was originally. The migrash is the empty space. So in other words, you have, here's the city, here's the migrash, and beyond it are the fields. Each one stays in its own zone.
You can't look nice.
Yeah, it doesn't look nice. It has an empty space around it, yeah.
There's trees,
maybe there's trees there, I don't know, but the point is, it's not cultivated land yet. Anyway, the point is, each one has to remain its own thing. The city has to stay a city, the migrash has to stay the migrash, the fields and vineyards have to stay that. So obviously the guy can't build himself a house in the migrash anyhow. What's the chiddush then? Why do we need the word, why do we need the b'raisa to be telling us that we know that from v'yoshav bo, when we know that anyway, the migrash can't be turned into an extension of the city. Reb Shamash and Paul Hirsch, by the way, has an interesting word about that in his explanation of that concept in Parshas Behar. He says the reason behind it is you don't want the city to grow too large. You want basically the way it should be, the ideal way it should be in Eretz Yisrael is you have the small cities all over the place. You have the fields and vineyards are near them so that you're living in a city, but you're still connected with the land and still working the land and then realizing that you have to depend on the Eivish there or whatever.
The city is getting
too large. There are too many people living in it. Fine, don't enlarge the city into the big rush. Build a new city someplace else.
Anyway, if you have urban sprawling.
Yeah, instead of having urban sprawl, exactly, begin a new city someplace else. Yeah.
It's the same.
No, it's not. Okay, anyway, the difference is one is the city growing larger and larger until you have a city the size of New York or something. Or the other one would be you have a bunch of small cities here and there throughout the country where each one is connected with its fields around it, and therefore people still, they have the best of both. They're living in a city with all the amenities of that, but they're also connected closely with the land. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So again, back to the question in the Gemara. So why do we need the Yashav Bach to tell us that he can't live in the Tchum if anyway you can't turn the Migrash, the Tchum, into an extension of the city? Yes, but the Chiddush of the Braisa, the Yashav Bach, the Loi B'Tchuma, means, let's say, for example, there's an underground tunnel under the Migrash.
If it weren't for the word for Yashav Bach, he'd be allowed to live there. It's not making it into an extension of the city. He's living in a cave underground.
Yeah. But because we say B'yoshav Bah, he's not allowed to do that. If he happens to be in such a cave or in general wandering around in the Tchum, sure, then that saved him. Like
but that means excluding...
Bah means specifically in the city, that's the point. Because, only because of that Braisa do we know he can't live in such a cave. If it weren't for that Braisa...
In the city, only on top of
right.
The...
If we only had the din that Enos and Sada Migrash, well, Migrash Sada, etc., all that would mean is he can't build himself a house in the Tchum and live there, but he could live underground. But Yashav Bah tells us he can't live on an ongoing basis underground either. He has to live in the city proper.
Mm-hmm. You said Retzeach, you have to hold the Tchum before, then you said the mission we have to hold this if the Retzeach leaves the Tchum of the city. What happens? So we said, Rav Yossi Aglili has said that the mitzvah for the girl is on to kill him, and anybody else is Rashut. Anybody else has Rashut to kill him. Rav Akiva has said the girl Adam only has Rashut. It's not a mitzvah. He doesn't have to kill him. He's allowed to kill him if he wants. And the whole Adam, then we had a two different Geosaurus, which we're going to have now in our Gemara as well. Is it called Chayoven Olav or Ein Chayoven Olav? Is it anybody else who would actually be Chayav Nisa for killing him, other than the Goyal Adam, according to the Rakiva? Or are we saying anybody else is not Chayav for him, which would mean, I think the Ritva says, even so, you would still say there's a nuance over there.
You would still say that Rabbi Yossi would say anybody else has Rashus to kill him.
And Rabbi Kibble would say they don't have Rashut, they take a shouldn't, it is also for them too. But if they do, they're not Chayav Mitzvah. That's if we have to give it to Angel. The word Goyal Adam is allowed to kill. Nobody else.
But, so that's the thing. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, really anybody else is allowed to. And according to Rabbi Akiva, they're not allowed to. And we have the two different Girasos. If you're Chayoven or Ein Chayoven, would they actually be Chayav Mitzvah for killing him, or would they not?
Rabbi Yitzchak, really, you shouldn't have said everybody is allowed to kill him. Why?
But the difference is the Goyal Adam has a mitzvah to do it, and everybody else has a Rashut. Yeah. Okay, so turn it up on him.
Yeah, but I mean, what will they have? Rashut to kill him, or this one? because the fact that he left Sayyim, the fact that he left Sayyim, because his hijrah, he's making himself available to be killed.
So, turn it up on him, we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says, V'rotza.
Yeah. The pasuk says, V'rotza goyel adam is the retay. The pasuk says, the goyel adam killed the retay. So what does that mean? Mitzvah v'yad goyel adam, it means the mitzvah for the goyel adam to do it. Ain goyel adam, if the goyel adam is not available, or the person doesn't have a goyel adam or whatever, reshus v'yad kol adam, then it's optional, anybody else can do it as well. That's how he understands the Rosak Goyal Adam of the Reteach is a mitzvah. The Goyal Adam shall kill the Reteach.
If there's no Goyal Adam?
If there's a Goyal Adam, then the Rosak Goyal Adam, you understand? That means he shall do it. But it means anybody else can if there's no Goyal Adam. Rabbi Akiva, in the Rashut, you have Goyal Adam. Rabbi Akiva says it only means the Rashut for the Goyal Adam. Behold, I'm Chayov and Olav, and everybody else would be Chayav on him, or maybe in Chayav, or in Chayov and Olav, according to the other Girsa, that they wouldn't be Chayav, which would mean, in other words, that they're not going to be chayav mitzvah, even though it's also for them to do. My time with Rabbi Yitzchak Lili. So what's Rabbi Yitzchak Lili's reason? Why does he say that Rotzach Goyal Adam is saying that he must do it? Because he says mitzvah im Rotzach. It doesn't say if the Goyal Adam kills the Reteach, which would imply it's up to him whether he wants to do it or not. It says he kills him, implying that he has to.
How does it say?
V'rotzach. So he understands that as an imperative. He shall kill him. Otherwise, if it meant as an optional thing, it would say imrotzach.
Rav Akiva would answer to that. Mitzvah yusach. Yes, but it also doesn't say as a commandment he shall kill him.
V'rotzach can be understood as a statement, as a descriptive statement. If he kills him, then aim loydom.
In the event that
he kills him, right?
That's the thing. If it said imrotzach, it would definitely mean it's optional. If it said yusach, it would definitely mean he's required to. Because it says v'rotzach,
therefore it's ambiguous. So Rabbi Yitzchak really can understand it one way, Rabbi Akiva can understand it the other way.
I want to ask you, even if it's a second cousin, he's allowed to kill him.
The din of the Goyal Adam technically is whichever person is capable of yarshining the nirtzach, the victor.
So it's not a second cousin or whatever. It's, for example, his son, his brother if he didn't have any sons, his closest relative was able to yarshin him.
Only the closest relative. So there's a brother, and then there's a nephew.
A daughter.
Yeah.
The nephew can't do it.
If there's nobody to yarshin him, that's the. I think I remember that there would maybe actually be a din that in that case, based in appoints a Goyal Adam for him maybe, but I'm not sure about that. In that case, it might just be that's fine. Then there's no Goyal Adam, but nevertheless, he still needs his kapara. He still goes to the Lord of Mikvot. But yeah. Now, if the Ritzeach leaves the Tchum of the city, and the Goyal Adam finds him and kills him, the Goyal Adam can actually be executed for killing this Ritzeach.
The question is, come on, who is Mazutra Batovia going like? Like Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, like Rabbi Akiva. He seems to be saying not like Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, not like Rabbi Akiva,
because Rabbi Yitzchak Lili says that the Goyal Adam has to kill him.
But he doesn't say he has to kill him in the Tchum.
Outside the Tchum. He left the Tchum.
Okay.
So that the Mishnah had said that if he leaves the Tchum, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili had said that it's mitzvah for the Goyal Adam to kill him. Rabbi Akiva said it's reshus. So what are you telling me, that he's a chayav mitzvah for killing him?
What's the law? It's a mitzvah to kill him. It was an accident, right?
That's true, but nevertheless.
Why is that mitzvah to kill him? It was only an accident.
Because nevertheless, the fact is he killed his relative.
And then
he was supposed to stay in the city. He left the city.
He left the city. Bedafka, yeah.
So therefore, kill him to kill him.
So therefore, yeah, that would be it.
Why did you flip a light switch on and chop it?
Okay, whatever. That's the point. Yeah. He's supposed to stay in the air mitzvah.
Why did he pull the attack?
Okay, what?
Mazutra Batovia is saying, though, that if the Roitzeach leaves the city and the Goyal Adam kills him, Ner Agolov, the Goyal Adam can be executed for killing him. So the question is, that doesn't fit with Rabbi Yitzchak Lili or Rabbi Akiva.
The answer is, Huda Omasi Hai Tana. Yes, but Mazutra Batovia can go according to the following Tana. We have a third opinion. When it says, Ad Omdoi Lefneho Edel HaMishpat, when the Pasuk says that the Goyal Adam should not kill him until he stands in front of the Edel, meaning the Beis Din, for judgment, meaning, Matam Adloima, what are those words in the pasuk come to teach us?
Well, what does it mean? Lafisha nema v'rofach goyel adam aser etzeach. Given that the pasuk says the goyel adam kills the etzeach, yochol miyad, you would think it means right away that he killed the guy v'shogeg, and immediately the goyel adam can go after him. No, tamad lemad omne lefnei ha'idal amish. But therefore, the pasuk says until he stands in front of the beis din to judge him. Now, so what does this mean? You have a few different explanations among mafarshim. Does it mean that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that actually the words v'rotach goyel adam aser etzeach maybe are not talking b'chlal about Ritzeach b'shogig, maybe they are only talking about Ritzeach b'mezid, namely ad omri l'fnei ha'idol ha'mishpat means that they judge him that he's chayev misa, only then is the goyel adam able to go after him. But if he's a Ritzeach b'shogig, if Beis Din determines that he was a Ritzeach b'shogig, according to Rabbi Eliezer, maybe what Rabbi Eliezer means is that then the goyel adam is never allowed to go after him. Well, then that fits very well with what Rabbi Eliezer says, which is that if he leaves the other mikvah, the goyel adam is not allowed to kill him, and if he does, he's chayav misa, because he's not to begin with. The goyel adam is not supposed to be going after him unless he was at a tzeach b'mezid.
Well, assuming that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he thinks about, it's implied the case he's talking about b'mezid.
So that's one explanation, and after all, that is one way of explaining Rabbi Eliezer. The other way of understanding it is ad omri lefnei ha'idol ha'mishpat means that Rabbi Eliezer would say, sure, the goyel adam has the right to kill the tzeach b'shogeg, but only if after the Ritzeach B'shogeg left the Arei Mikvot, only if then Beis judged him and said, you know what, you left the Arei Mikvot, you have now been Master Asmer the Misa, you have now made yourself available to be killed, now Goyel Adam, you're welcome to go get him, only then. That's what Rabbi Eliezer would be saying. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yisak really would be saying in our Mishnah that you don't need any of that. Once he leaves the Arei Mikvot, he's automatically, the Goyel Adam can go after him. Mitzvah or Shurus, as the case may be. According to Rabbi Eliezer, according to this understanding, it would be that in order for the Goyel Adam to kill him, it would have to be, though, that Beis Din would have to determine that he left that he left the Arei Mikvot inappropriately, and that therefore now the Goyel Adam is able to go after him.
Does that mean left inappropriately? Means he has to be out of the Trum?
It means he has to be out of the Trum, and we're going to talk.
Once he leaves the Trum and he comes back, the Goyel Adam can still
take. No, if he goes back in, then he's safe again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we're going to talk.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, but that's it. We're going to talk about, by the way, in a couple of lines, we're going to talk about that there's a difference, so there may also be a difference whether he leaves b'mezid or b'shogeg. We'll get to that, but yeah. Okay. On top of that, by the way, there is also a discussion among the Rishonim. Is Marzutra Bar Tuvia's statement necessarily, how does that fit with what we learned yesterday, that Rav Huna had, we learned about Rav Huna had talked about if the guy is on his way to the Arei Mikvot and the Goyel Adam kills him, whether the Goyel Adam is able to kill him at that point, is he chayav misa? Does that fit
with what we're saying over here?
Not really.
So one way of looking at it is, in fact, he is arguing with Rav Huna. That Rav Huna would be saying that when he's on the way to the when he's on the way to the Arei Mikvot, then what did we say over there? So we would say, in other words, so Rav Huna had said that when he's on his, what did he say? That when he's on his way to the Arei Mikvot, then if the Goyel Adam finds him on the way and kills him, he's potter.
Right.
Over here, Mazutra Batruvia is saying that the Goyel Adam killed him, he's chayev. So one way of looking at it is they taka are arguing.
Right.
The other way of looking at it is, that Mazutra Batruvia is talking about after he was in the Arei Mikvot and left. Rav Huna is talking about when he's on the way to the Arei Mikvot. So there would be a difference. When he's on the way to the Arei Mikvot, he's still safe from the Goyel Adam.
Right.
Once he's in there and leaves, then...
That's obvious, isn't
not
it?
Not necessarily.
Why?
Because you could still say there's a difference between when he's going over there. No, just the other way around. Sorry. When he's on the way there, if the Goyel Adam kills him, he's potter, because he's never reached the Arei Mikvot yet.
Right.
But here, where he reached it and now left it, then Mazutra Bar Tuvia would be saying that he's still safe from the Goyel Adam, and Rav Huna might agree with that as well. Or
that's
again, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe Rav Huna would disagree with
until
that.
Until Beis Din would
until
say.
That's a Beis Din kapustin.
Well, that's according to that. That's a different idea that the Rebbe Eliezer would be saying, that maybe Beis Din has to decide that he's chayav misa.
On the way
to the Arei Mikvot, he could be killed and the Goyel Adam would be potter. But after he got to the Arei Mikvot and then left, if the Goyel Adam killed him, Rebbe Mazutra Bar Tuvia is saying he would be chayav. He's also to kill him. All right. So the question is, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Akiva, hi, ad omri lefnei ha'idol ha'mishpat, my darshin bay. Fine, what do Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Akiva, what do they do with the words ad omri lefnei ha'idol ha'mishpat? So Rabbi Yosi is using that to say, to teach us that the Goel Adam is not allowed to kill the Ritzayach until he's in front of Beis Din. Meaning, in other words, either according to the one explanation that Beis Din is determined he's Chayav Nisa because he was Memezid, or according to the other opinion that they determined that he's able to be killed because he left the Mishpat appropriately. Rabbi Yitzchak really and Rabbi Akiva don't believe in that whole concept because they say that as soon as he leaves already, the Goel Adam is able to get him. What are they doing with those
before
words?
Reaching the Arim Mishpat.
After he reached the Arim Mishpat and he left. You don't need Beis Din to determine that he left or whatever. The Goel Adam sees him. And yeah.
But if Bezim Pasim is he has to run there, and the Goel Adam goes and kills him.
So we said,
on the way.
So we said, Rav Huna had said that if he kills him on the way, he's possible. Yeah.
Possible.
Again, there maybe Mazdut Shabbaturvia disagrees with that, maybe not, according to the different explanations. Okay.
And when he leaves the Mikvah?
So that's what we're saying. According to Mazdut Shabbaturvia, which is in accordance with Rav Eliezer, if he leaves the Arim Mikvah, he's still safe. And according to Rav Yosiag Rivi and Rav Akiva, he's not. So what are they doing with the words? Abam Delefnei Ha'idah LaMishpat, which implies it. Because Rabbi Eliezer said that's what Omni Lefnei Ha'idah LaMishpat means. The only way the Goel Adam can get him is if he was judged by Beis Din. So now Rabbi Yosiag Rivi and Rabbi Akiva would disagree with that concept. What do they do with that pasuk? Hi on the Omni Lefnei Ha'idah LaMishpat. They need it to teach us the following din, Rabbi Akiva. Minayim l'Sanhedrin shiro echad rahorak as a nefesh. How do we know that if the members of the Sanhedrin themselves saw one person killing another, she'en m'misino, he'd say they can't execute him on their own ad she'yamre b'beisin achar, until he goes and is judged in another beis din. Talmud Loma, that's where we learn from this pasuk, ad omri l'fnei ha'eda l'mishpat, until he stands before the Eda for judgment, meaning ad she'yamre b'beisin achar, he has to stand in another beis din.
What?
So we have the concept in a few places in Shas. We have the concept ein aid nas a dayan, and an aid cannot become a dayan.
Right.
The Gemara discusses in Rosh Hashanah and a few other places. So some of the Rishonim say that actually that fits exactly with what we're saying over here. Here we're giving a pasuk that expresses that idea, and in the various other places in Shas, the Gemara is explaining the logical basis behind it. In Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara mentions the logical basis behind it because once they saw that he did it, they're not going to be able to mahapik b'schuta. They're not so much biased, but they're no longer going to be able to try to exonerate him like the members of the Beis Din are supposed to do. Okay, whatever. It's a different way, different kind of bias, but whatever. Yeah. Some of the Rishonim talk about there may be a distinction. When we say Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, could be talking about a case, for example, where Beis Din saw it happen by night. Where Eid... Let me ask you. Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, that concept that we find in Rosh Hashanah and other places, might be talking about the case where they saw it happen by night. Where by night they're not capable of being Dayanim because you can't judge Dini Mominus or Dini Nefarshis at night. If it happened by day, not necessarily that they couldn't, on that basis, that they couldn't automatically sit down as Dayanim and do it, but our case over here, our process over here, teaches us according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yitzchak Rivi that even then not. Because there's a Xeris HaKosov that once because we have two different cases, one where it was by day and one where it was by night. We had a similar concept in Baba Basra. We had a discussion over there about where a Shchiv Merah says a Tzavah by day versus by night, whether the people who were there can serve as Edim or as Dayanim.
Didn't we have mentioned that you have to see?
Of course they have to see, but...
So how can you see at night?
You don't have street lights or whatever.
Okay.
For a moment, that's all. Fine. Yeah, about a moment. Why? Okay. Turn it up on me. The pasuk says, if the Retzeach going goes out. Why the double expression? Ainly Elab Amazed, because you would only know, the pasuk is saying if he goes out and the Goel Adam kills him, then okay. But if you only had one time Yotza, you would think it only means he leaves the city of Amazed. The Shogig Minayin, how do we know the same thing would apply if he leaves the city of the Shogig? Therefore, the pasuk says the double expression yotze yetze, meaning regardless whether we leave b'shogeg or whether we leave b'mezid. So the question is, v'atanya v'ahurgu b'mezid nerek b'shogeg goyla? Or don't we have another brisa that says that if somebody kills him b'mezid, then that person will be killed, and if he kills him b'shogeg, he will go into golus? Now, we have Bahurga over here in parenthesis because there are different Gersois over here. Are we actually talking about, when we say B'shogig and B'mezid, are we talking about B'shogig and the Mezid refers to the person who killed this Ritzeach B'shogig? that you have the Ritzach Meshogeg leaves the city and somebody else kills him, a Mezid or Meshogeg respectively, or is the Mezid or Meshogeg referring to the Ritzach himself leaving the city, the Mezid or Meshogeg? Anyway, so the question.
It's one or the other, but. So the question is, in other words, so again, we had one Braita saying that Yotze Yetze means whether he leaves the city, the Shogun will base it, the Goel Adon can get him, but now we have another Braita that says there's a difference between the Mezid and the Shogun.
The answer is, like Asha, Ha Commander Amra Amin and Dibra Torah Kolosham
Adon. One Braita, the second Braita follows the opinion
that says Dibra Torah Kolosham Adon, the Torah speaks in common terminology. In those days, it was a common thing when he spoke Lashon Kodesh to use a double expression like that, like Yotze Yetze or Mois Yumas or Ochol Tochol or whatever, all the different. It's just the popular way that people spoke in those days. So therefore, not necessarily can you learn anything from the double expression Yotze Yetze. Therefore, according to that second bright, so you're going to say there's a difference between Meshogeg and Mezid. Whereas the first bright is according to the opinion that we don't say that. So therefore, the fact that the Torah uses a double expression means we have to darshan it. Therefore, Meshogeg and Mezid. Amar Abaya, Misabra, Commander Amar Dibra Torah Kolosh Mene Adam. It's more logical to understand, according to the second Braisa, that's a Dibra Torah Kolosh Mene Adam, and therefore that there will be a difference whether we left Meshogeg or Mezid. Shalo Yehei Sofer Chomer Mitzchilase. Because the logic is, you shouldn't say that the end of it, when he's able to be killed versus not, shouldn't be any harsher than the original thing that brought him to the Ir Mikvah. Matchilase Mezid Nerag Meshogeg Goyla, just as at the beginning, when he first killed Meshogeg, when he first killed the person with the axe or what have you, so what happens? If he did it Mezid, he himself would have been executed. Because he did it Meshogeg, he goes into Golus. Absolutely, therefore, by logic, he would say the same thing at the end. Now, when he leaves the Ir Mikvah and puts himself in danger, same thing, the Mezid Nerag Meshogeg Goyla. If he does it Mezid, then surely he can be killed. But if he does it Meshogeg, then Goyla, meaning he has to go right back into the Ir Mikvah, same as he did originally. Again, according to the understanding that we say over that the Shogeg and the Mezid refers to the other person killing him, same idea. In other words, if the other person kills him, the Mezid, he will be Nerag. If he does it, the Shogeg. If he does it, the Shogeg, then he himself, that other person, will have to go into Golis.
And there's going to be an open spot.
Yeah. So therefore, logically, in other words, Abaya is saying that there is indeed a difference. If he leaves, there's a difference whether he leaves the Mezid or the Shogeg, and that taka is the halacha. So only if the Ritzach leaves the Ir Mikvah, the Mezid, only then can the Goel Adam get it.
If he leaves the Shogeg, then if he leaves the Shogeg, then not.
There's no Mezid or Shogeg for the other one, for the other guy.
No, that's not the right. It's not part of the Roma Foshim. We understand it that way, but that's not the halacha doesn't get.
So it's only the Ritzach himself, whether we need the Shogeg or the Mezid.
And by the way, Mezid can be a couple of different possibilities. You know, it can mean that he didn't realize he left the city, he's wandering around and he didn't realize he left the tomb. It can also be that he thought he's allowed to. We learned in a previous Mishnah, for example, that he's not allowed to leave for Aedes Momon or Aedes Nefarshas, so even if the old Jewish people meet him or whatever, what if he mistakenly thought that he is supposed to leave in those cases? That would also be the Shogeg.
Right.
Yeah, it would also be an example of Shogeg.
If the Goel Adam kills him, the Shogeg,
it depends. Is it a situation where the Goel Adam had the right to kill him? If he did, then it doesn't matter whether he did the Shogeg or Mezid.
If it's a case where the Goel Adam does not have the right to kill him, for example, he's still in the Ir Mikvah, or for example, we just said he himself left the Shogeg or whatever, yeah, of course the Ritzach, of course the Goel Adam would then be like any other Ritzach and would have to go into Golos himself. Yeah. Tony Chodah. Now we have two brises. One of them says, "Av shaharag b'noi." If a father kills his son, "Av shaharag." If a father kills b'noi nasal goel adam, one brise says that the son can become the goel adam. Metanya idach en b'noi nasal goel adam.
And another brise says the son does not become a goel adam.
So wait a minute.
Okay. Hold on.
The son killed the father.
Lema harab.
Should we say that these two brises are arguing, one holds according to Rabbi Yossi Agrili, the other holds according to Rabbi Akiva? Namely, again, on Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Agrili had said that it's a mitzvah for the Goel Adam to kill the Ritzach. Therefore, what would we have over here? The father killed whoever it was, doesn't matter for our purposes. Let's say the father killed his wife, or he killed one of his other sons or whatever, doesn't matter. Let's say, therefore, now the son is the closest, is the closest relative. We would say, according to Rav Yitzchak Levi, well, he has a mitzvah to kill. He's his son. Doesn't matter. The Torah says he has a mitzvah to kill him. So therefore, that overrides the normal din of kibbutz avraham.
What's the problem? His son wants to.
What do you mean? What's the problem?
If Avraham kills, should Yitzchak be able to be the goel adam and kill Avraham?
Why not?
Well, because the son is not allowed to even wound his father as willing to Sanhedrin, let alone kill him on the face of it. But we would argue, maybe according to Rabbi Yitzchak Levi, yes, because the fact that he has a mitzvah to do it, maybe that overrides the normal thing, that a son is not allowed to do such a thing to his father. As opposed to the second braisa that says that he can't, would be according to Rabbi Akiva. He only has reshus, even the girl Adam only has reshus. Well, very well, if he's the son of the Retzeach B'Shogeg, he shouldn't use that reshus, because it's his own father.
So on the face of it, then these two braisas are arguing on the same point as in our Mishnah, is it mitzvah or is it reshut? Yeah. The problem with that is, how could you think that way? Beinam adam mitzvah, beinam adam reshut, mishari. Whether you say that's a mitzvah for the girl adam to kill the reshut, or whether you say it's reshut, how would such a thing be allowed anyway? Because didn't Rav Barav Huna say, v'chein tona d'vei Rav Yishmael, and so also we learn from the yeshiva of Rav Yishmael and Abraita,
lakol, for all purposes in the Torah, ein aben nasa shliach la'aviv la'akose or la'kawalo, or kilolot. A son can never be a shliach for his father as far as hitting him or as far as cursing him. Meaning, in other words, let's say, we're going to learn in the next parak, we're going to learn about Malchus.
Let's say, for example, you have a person who's high of Malchus. Suppose that his son is a regular person in Beitin in charge of giving Malchus. He's a regular bailiff in Beitin who gives Malchus.
He can't give to his own father. Or the Kilolotso, if you have a case where a person has to be put in Cherem, for example, then the son can't be the Shliach to do that, or the Shliach Beitin to do that.
Can't be a Dayan?
No, because you can't be a Dayan if you're a relative anyway. We'll look at that.
Can he do it to his own son?
To his own son, yeah.
Of course, he may be. Except for Macis, where then a son would be allowed to hit his father or kill him or put him in. Yeah, a Macis
where he tried to convince people to do Avodah Zarah. Shari Oma Turtle is Sachmoval, it's a Kathala, because there the turtle specifically says you should not have mercy and you should not cover up for him. So therefore, what are you telling me that the one Braisa that says that a son can be a Goel Adam for the father and kill his father would be according to Rabbi Yitzchak Levi? Even Rabbi Yitzchak Levi would have to agree with this concept that a son can't do that to his father. The answer is Elolai Kasha Habib Noi Habib Ben Noi.
No, rather, one is talking about his son, one is talking about his grandson. Meaning the two brises, when the two brises use the word Bnoi, they're using it in a slightly different sense.
The first one is talking about Av Shaharag. The first one is saying like this: Av Shaharag, a father who killed his son. Bnoi, meaning the son of the victim, which is now the grandson of the Reseach. Not for the girl Adam.
He doesn't have, he has the Midrabanan, he has a mitzvah of kibbutz av to his grandfather, but not Midrabanan. Therefore, there's no problem with him becoming a girl Adam and gunning for his grandfather. Mashenkin, the second braisa that says that in B'noi Nasa the girl Adam means his own son cannot become the son of the Retzeach. So in other words, we have three generations. We have Avraham killed Yishmael. So what is that? So what would we say? The first braisa is saying Benoi, the son of Yishmael, namely Nevoyo,
who is the grandson of Abraham, can become a goel adam against his grandfather. The second braisa is saying Benoi,
Abraham's own son, namely Yitzchak, cannot be a goel adam against his father.
So in that case, it's nothing to do with the machlokes.
The second verse from the first one, and then
no, because again, each one is using Benoi in a different sense. One in the first one, Benoi means the son of the victim, which
right.
is the grandson of the Retzeach.
Right.
In the second one, Benoi means the son of the Retzeach.
I understand, but the fact that the son is not allowed.
No, but the first verse didn't say anything about not allowed.
I'm not saying that, but the fact that the son is not allowed implies that the grandson would be.
Not necessarily. We need to be told. And that's Taka the Halacha is that a son can't be a girl adam, but a grandson can.
Now, let me ask you if there are several brothers, several sons.
So that's the thing. What we're saying is exactly the example of the same. If you have, for example, that Avraham killed Yishmael, let's say.
Then, yeah.
You said
you know that. There's a famous verse that I once heard that Meir Kahana Hayad once said. He said, you know, you see how asking too many questions causes problems. You see that we know by the Akedah that the Hashem tells Abraham, and we know, we learned it in Sanhedrin, that Abraham, he tells him, Bincha, he says, I have two sons, as Yechidcha, each one is a Yachid to their mother, Asher Ahavta, I love both of them, and finally the Eibush just spells out as Yitzchak. So the Meir Kahana used to say, you know, look what's caused by too many questions. If he had just said, Asher, as Bincha, as Yechidcha, fine, I'll just take Yishmael, and then we would have been spared a lot of suffering. Anyway, the point is exactly that. If Abraham has two sons, Yitzchak and Yishmael, we're saying he kills Yishmael, Yitzchak cannot be the Goel Adam for his brother. Somebody else has to be the Goel Adam then. That's exactly what happened.
If
he had 10 sons, fine. So if Yaakov has Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., and kills one of them, then yeah, none of the other ones can be a Goel Adam against their father. Mishnah says, Elon Shu only the say has form. If you have a tree that the trunk of it, any kind of tree, a tree where the trunk of it is within the tchum of the sea, the nofe nota chutz tchum, but the branches of it hang over outside the tchum, outside the 2,000 amos, or the other way around, the trunk of the tree stands outside the tchum, but the branches hang over into the tchum. The din is hakol ha'lach achar note. It all follows the branches.
Why not?
So we're going to learn in the Gemara. We're going to learn about the possibilities, what this means exactly. But on the face of it, what it means is, in the first case, for example, we would say because the branches are outside the tchum, therefore, if the retzeach is sitting up in the branches of the tree, the goel adam would be able to kill him, and vice versa. In
what
the second
do you mean
case,
midway?
What do you mean midway? He's either in the tchum or outside of it.
No, midway on the branch.
Is he inside of the tchum? Is he within the 2,000 amos of the city, or is he not? Where is he actually located?
You rub Jeremy on the bird landed like that.
You measure 2,000 amos, and then you see, whatever. Okay. So the Gemara says a Ramini. You have a contradiction based on a Mishnah in the Sefer Ma'aseh Sheni that says, Ilam Shu Oim B'Seich HaPnim, V'Noit HaLachot, if you have a tree that is standing, that's growing within Yerushalayim, V'Noit HaLachot, and the branches extend outward, outside the city, or only the chutz v'noita l'pnim, which stands outside the city and extends inward, then it depends. Now, you have, remember, when it comes to your shalayim, you have the din, you're talking about the din of eating ma'aser sheni. Are you allowed to eat ma'aser sheni in the branches or under the branches of such a tree?
If you get the same response, the wall is low in one place.
What does one have to do with the other? You have the wall is low in one place, you have a tree that's growing over the wall. No, we're not talking about that. No, your shalayim is after within the wall.
If a mess is there, what?
What do you mean, if a mess is there? Because you'll pass them off oil. That's a different matter. We're not talking about that. The point is, you have to eat Ma'aser Sheni within your shalayim, and when Ma'aser Sheni is in your shalayim, you're not allowed to redeem it. So what we're saying, the Mishnah over there in Ma'aser Sheni is saying that you don't just say like all Mishnah is saying, you go according to wherever the branches are. Whatever part is within the walls, whatever part you measure on a straight line down where the walls are, whatever is within the walls is considered like the inside. And whatever is outside the walls is considered outside. So in other words, you have this tree is hanging over the edge. You find the line over there where the wall is. And whatever parts of the branches are within the wall, you're allowed to eat ma'aser sheni there. And whatever parts are outside, you're not allowed to. Whereas our Mishnah is just saying you always go according to where the branches are.
Doesn't matter whether they're inside or outside the line on the face of it. So what's the difference?
Well, that's the question I was asking.
That's the question.
The wall.
Yeah.
And one part is inside and the other.
So the Mishnah over there in Ma'aser Sheni is saying whatever part of the inside is inside, whatever part of the outside is outside. That's the question. The answer is Maiser Aretz. Are you trying to bring a contradiction between the dinim of Maiser and the dinim of Aretz Kifot? Maiser b'chol b'tolah rachmana. When it comes to Maiser, the Torah says you have to eat it within the walls. So therefore, whatever is within the walls is within the walls. Aretz Kifot v'gira b'tolah rachmana. Whereas when it comes to the Aretz Kifot, the Torah says that the main thing is the Torah says you have to live in the Aretz Kifot. The nofen mitzilei, you're able to live in the branches. You're able to like make yourself a treehouse there. The ikla is immaterial. When you can't live on the trunk of the tree. So therefore, logically, you have to say wherever the branches are, if the branches are within the tchum, even though the trunk is outside, then you go according to that, and vice versa.
Well,
Right. So the,
whereas when it comes to Miser Shani, you just throw a coin to wherever the line of the wall is. However,
it's a big chunk. You deliver. You deliver.
That's what it is. Very wide.
Not really. I mean, because it branches out. It's branches over there. You can't really live on top of it. And if they're doing that, you're living in the branches, basically. Hey, the problem is, though, Rami Meister are Meister. The problem with that is, though, that then we can find a contradiction between two dinim within Meister itself. Titania, Tanan, really, because it's actually a Mishnah, also in Meister Sheni, that says... that says, when it comes to Yerushalayim, meaning the dinim of Meiser, you go according to where the branches are. But when it comes to the Arim Miklot, you also go according to where the branches are. So you have a sira between two Mishnayos regarding Meiser. In Meiser Sheni, it says you just draw the line wherever the wall is. In Masechta Meiseris, it says you just go according to where the foliage is, not ignoring where the wall is. So what is it? Amar Rav Kahana, like Kasha Harav Yehudu V'Harabam. So Rav Kahana says the two Mishnayos are two different opinions. Rav Yehuda versus the Rabbanan. The Tanya, namely, we learn in the Braisa. Rav Yehuda Omer, the Myra, when it comes to a cave under the city of Yerushalayim, Halach Acha Pischa, you go according to where the entrance is. So if you have a cave underground where the entrance to the cave is inside Yerushalayim, then it's still considered to be part of Yerushalayim, even though the actual body of the cave is outside the walls. And vice versa, as long as the entrance is within Yerushalayim, and vice versa, if the cave is under Yerushalayim, but the entrance of it is outside the wall, then it wouldn't be considered part of Yerushalayim. And the Ilon Halacha Hanofa, and when it comes to a tree, he says, you go according to the branches. So therefore, our Mishnah over here regarding Orim Miklot, and the second Mishnah, or Braisa, that we quoted, that said Halacha Hanofa, those go according to Rabbi Yehuda. The first Mishnah that we quoted from Meiser Sheni would go according to the Chachamim. Problem with that is, Eimer d'shamat le Rabbi Yehuda gav Meiser l'chumra. Fine, but you can say that Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says that you go according to the knife, you go according to the branches, that would mean that fine. It means that Rabbi Yehuda is being machmir when it comes to Meiser. Namely, now, we have to remember, when it comes to Meiser Sheni, there's two different dinim. Again, there's the din of where you're allowed to eat it, and there's the din of where you're allowed to redeem it. To redeem it has to be outside your Yerushalayim to exchange it for money. To eat it has to be in your Yerushalayim. So therefore, we could say Rabbi Yehuda is machmer in the sense. When he says, if the trunk of the tree is outside your Yerushalayim and the branches are inside, it would mean, just as you're not allowed to redeem Meiser Sheni if you're sitting in the branches because the branches are hanging over the wall into your Yerushalayim, he would say that we're going to be machmer, therefore we're going to say, therefore, that the branches are the main thing. The trunk follows the branches, and therefore, if you're standing next to the trunk over there, you can't be part of Meiser Sheni either. Because it's not because it's in Yerushalayim, physically it's outside the walls. But we would say, Holach Achran Neuf would mean, we would say, wherever the branches are the most important part of the tree, therefore the whole tree is considered as if it was inside the city. Therefore, you're not going to be able to be part of Meiser Sheni over there, because it's as if it was inside the city. And we would say the other way around, the trunk is inside Yerushalayim, the branches are outside. You would say, just as in the branches, you would not be allowed to eat Meiser Sheni without redeeming it, because the branches are located outside Yerushalayim, and you're not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. Therefore, we would say, fine, the branches are the most important part of the tree. The trunk is considered an extension of the branches. Therefore, even though the trunk is physically inside, the ikra namale mokta ochablaikia, you would say, fine, if he's standing on the trunk also, he can't be eating Meiser Sheni without redeeming it. So he would be saying, with lachumra in both directions. And by the way, Tosfos points out that evidently the Gemara knew mitzvara that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are basically arguing just on that. How far we machmir in these dinim? If not, in other words, that they have an actual machlokas about the real underlying dinim. They're just arguing about how far we're going to be machmir on this.
Yeah.
Meaning the Chachamim are going to be saying you just draw a line along the wall. We're not going to be saying that one part of the tree is more important than the other. Whatever's inside is inside. Whatever's outside is outside. Rabbi Yehuda would want to be machmir and say that you say that one part of the tree, namely the branches, is more important than the other, the trunk, and therefore whatever status applies to the branches is going to apply to the trunk as well. V'chumre in both directions. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda might be saying that. When it comes to Ma'aseh Sheni, Elagabe Orem Mitzvot. But now let's try to use that same logic by the Orem Mitzvot. It's not going to work. Bishleim Ikra B'chutz V'Neif V'Vifneim. You can understand fine if you have this case where the trunk of the tree is outside that your mitzvot and the branches are inside. Fine, you would say the same logic. Hechi D'Menoika L'Motzikotelei. Just as if the Ritzeach is sitting in the branches of the tree, which are within the tchum, then the Goel Adam is not able to kill him. The Ikra Namile Matsukato, like fine, you would say we're gonna be machmer on the Goel Adam and not allow him to kill the Ritzeach if he's sitting on the trunk either, even though the trunk is physically located outside the trunk. Ella, but what about the other way around? Ikra b'fnim v'neifim v'chutz. What are you gonna say the other way around? If the trunk is inside the tchum and the branches are outside, are you gonna say ki hechid b'neifim matsukato lei the Ikra Nami Matsukato lei? Are you gonna say just as if the Ritzeach is sitting in the branches, the Goel Adam can kill him? Would you say that if he's sitting at the trunk, he's able to kill him also? How is he able to kill him? The fact is, he's inside the tchum. He's within the protected zone. How can the guy get him? You can't say that Rabbi Yehuda means like that, that you always go according to the knife, that you say, therefore, that the trunk follows the knife. It doesn't work. Because the fact is, physically, he's still within the 2,000 hours. He's on the trunk, which is within the 2,000 amas of the city, which is in the safe zone. So you can't say that one missionary is going according to Rabbi Yehuda and the other one is going according to the Rabbah.
So how do you explain?
Rava says like this. Rather, the machloikas is it is true. It is true, after all, that we are dealing with the machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We are dealing with that. However, what we're going to say is we're still going to say that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about lechumra. Namely, when it comes to ma'aser, we already explained it. We already explained how it can be lechumra in either direction. That it means that lechumra as far as where you can eat it, because you can only eat it within your shalayim, and lechumra as far as where you can be poyde, because you can only be poyde outside your shalayim. So if you have a tree where one part of it is in your shalayim and the other part is outside, you can do neither. You can't eat ma'aseh sheni there. You can't be poyed in ma'aseh sheni there. Neither on the trunk nor on the. That's the chumrah. What is the similar chumrah that would be by the ritzeach, where we just argued that it can't be because we know you're not allowed to kill him on the trunk if it's within the tchum? What it means is like this: be'ikroy de kol amalei pligi de le'matzikato. If the ritzeach is on the trunk. If the Ritzeach is on the trunk, then there's no question everybody would agree that the Goel Adam is not able to kill him. Why? Because either way, no, even if the trunk is outside, because again, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that you go according to the knife, the branches are the most important part, therefore the branches are inside, therefore the whole tree is considered inside. And on the other hand, if it was the other way around, if he's on the trunk, which is inside, and the branches are outside, we would still say the fact is the trunk is within the tomb, it's still within the safe zone. Okay. Therefore, the Goel Adam can't get him
because
he's sitting on the trunk within the 2,000 hours.
Hopefully, the Goel Adam knows how to learn Gemara.
Well, okay. If he doesn't, then he's going to be Chayav Misa himself. So he better know his stuff.
According to Chachamim,
that's where
the way it works.
So what we're saying is like this. If
the trunk is outside and the branches is inside, and he sits under the
branches. No, one turn. Slow down. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we just clarified that. According to the Chachamim, we would say that dekula almalek legidalei matzikato. That if he's the shita of the Chachamim, we said in the case of Ma'aseh Sheni was we said we just go according we just draw a line
wherever the line is.
So if he's on the trunk and the trunk is inside, then there's no question the Goel Adam can't get him. To the Chachamim, because that's inside the line. To Rabbi Yehuda, even though the knife is the main thing, because the fact is, again, it's inside the line.
We saw Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah, fine.
And
on the other hand,
right.
yeah,
On the other hand, if we're talking about, again, we have a case of a tree where the trunk is within the tum and the branches are outside. So we said that if he's on the trunk, everybody agrees he's safe. On the other hand, if he's in the branches, the yochel lahogi b'chitzim v'tzroyus, and the goyel adam is capable of killing him with arrows or with rocks, the kulam le'kligidi matzikadalei. Then Rava says everybody would agree, even Rav Yehuda, that the goyel adam has the right to do that. The fact is, the guy's outside the ir mikla, and so we have both. In other words, according to the chachamim, we would say he's outside the zone. The line is physically he's outside the zone. And Rabbi Yehuda would also say that the noif is the main thing. The only reason we're going to save him when it comes to the trunk is because the trunk is physically inside, and they're as long as he's physically inside, he's okay. The branches are not inside; they're outside. Therefore, either way, you can get it. Pligi, the machloikas would be the meve. Machloikas would be the meve ikre dauger the noifer. The machloikas would be: can you use the trunk as a step to get up to the noif, to the branches? In other words, exactly what it sounds like. Is the goel adam allowed to? He's allowed to if the retzeach is sitting up in the noif, which again is outside the ir mikvah. Then for sure he can shoot arrows or rocks or whatever. What we mean is the retzeach allowed to climb up the trunk, which is within the tum, in order to reach the branches which are outside the tum and kill the goel and kill the retzeach over there? Is he allowed to do that?
The goel adam.
Is the goel adam allowed to climb the trunk, which is inside the tum? Is he allowed to use that as a passageway, as a step to reach the noif and be able to kill the retzeach?
Because the noif is outside.
We said so far, but by both opinions, it's only the rotation of the...
No, because that's the thing. Marisava haver ikri dagalim. One opinion would hold that you are allowed to use
the trunk to reach
the leaves, because Rabbi Yehuda would say that holach acharan noif. He would say the branches are the main thing. It is true you can't kill the retzeach when he's on the trunk itself, because the trunk is within the safe zone. But because the trunk is considered only an extension of the noif, therefore the goel adam would be allowed to climb up the trunk and use it to reach the noif, where he can kill the retzeach.
But wait a minute, the fact that he climbs the trunk means that the retzeach can be on the trunk while the...
No, if the retzeach is on the trunk, he's safe.
The goel adam is still on the trunk while the retzeach is on the leaf.
Yeah.
And the trunk is up, he can still have him.
Well, if he can shoot arrows, he doesn't need to be on the trunk. He can be standing on the ground outside. Because we're saying over here, let's say he's not able to kill him with arrows. He's not a very good shot. So he wants to go and kill him with his bare hands, or he wants to go take out a sword and chop off his head.
Right.
Is he allowed to climb the trunk to do that? Rabbi Yehuda would say yes, because essentially the retzeach is outside the yirmikvah, and even the trunk itself, fine, the trunk itself is the safe zone, but it's not such a safe zone that the goel adam can't use it to reach him. Oh, my father,
where's the kind of...
He's allowed to come into the Ottoman Mikvah, but he's not allowed to use that as a staging area for killing the goel adam.
According to Yehuda,
he is, because the main thing over here is the noif. The trunk is only a weigh station.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Then the retzeach pushes the retzeach from inside to the outside.
No, I can't imagine he would. No, I
don't think he would.
I doubt he's allowed to. I can't see how he's allowed to. Whereas the Chachamim would hold that you're not allowed to use the branch, you're not allowed to use the trunk as a basis to reach the branches, because they would say each part has its own significance, and therefore the trunk is still within the safe zone, it's within the tum. Therefore, that the Chachamim would say, therefore, that you're not allowed to use the trunk in order to reach the branches. So that would be the machlokes. When we say in our Mishnah and in the second Mishnah that we quoted, Hakol Holach Achran Noif, that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda, who would say, therefore, that if he's in the branches, because they're outside the tum, are outside the safe zone, and you're allowed even to climb up the trunk to reach them.
Right.
On the other hand, the Chachamim would disagree with that. The Chachamim would say you just draw a line wherever the tum is,
he's inside the tum.
Whatever is inside the tum, he's allowed. Whatever is outside the tum, he's not allowed, because the trunk is within the tum, therefore he's not allowed to climb up it.
Now, what happens if the two trees on one next to the other,
yeah,
and he climbs the trunk of another tree
to reach the branches of that specific
tree. Is that trunk outside the tomb or not?
Then it's inside the tomb.
Then you have the same problem. It's using something
about the trunk.
The pashtus would be the same thing. If you're using the space inside the tomb to reach the to reach it outside the tomb, you wouldn't be allowed to.
And the other trunk is outside.
Then fine. Then you can climb that one in the first place. Then you can stand on the ground and shoot him anyway, like you just said. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Rav Ashi, Omar. Rav Ashi says another explanation. My achra noif, ah achra noif. No, Rav Ashi says, when we say in our Mishnah and in the second Mishnah, Brais or whatever that we quoted, ach achra noif means ach achra noif, means we also follow the branches. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that you're always machmir. In other words, not like we just answered that there would be a difference that you're allowed to climb the trunk or not. Rabbi Yehuda would be saying, regardless whether the trunk is inside and the branches are outside, or vice versa, either way, we're always going to be machmer. When it comes to maaser, meaning that you can't eat maaser and you can't redeem it over there, because you're stuck in both directions. When it comes to the goyel adam, same idea. It would mean that if the trunk is inside and the branches are outside, the fact is that the trunk is inside, therefore you can't go on the trunk and kill them. If the branches are inside, then it means that even the trunk is considered part of the safe zone as well, because the branches are inside.
You would eat either way.
In other words, you always do it in order to be machmer on the goyel adam and then mako on the ritzeach. Of course,
do what?
That you would say that regardless, as long as some part of the tree is, either the branches or the trunk is within the safe zone, is within the tum, then he's safe from the goyel adam. What? Then the whole tree is considered as if it was inside the tree. Even according to the branches, don't just think the trunk is the main part of the tree, because the biggest part, even the branches are significant as far as saving. That is the halacha. Rav Ashi is bachelor, he's the last opinion over here, and therefore we follow him. But Tosfos though does discuss that there's not necessarily, they don't quite agree with Rashi's explanation over here, because among other things, why he's saying apacha noif, you could easily as well say apacha ikar. You could easily as equally well say that you also go according to the trunk, because it would be the same, it would come out to the same thing. You go either according to the trunk or according to the branches, whichever one is more of a
core. Ikar is the trunk.
Yes, but that's right, the ikar means the trunk, right. So Tosfos explains a little bit differently their opinion of Rav Ashi was saying it. They explain the opinion of Rav Ashi a little bit differently. That of course the branches are never going to be bottled to the trunk, lachomra or lachola. The trunk has a din of its own, as well as it can be bottled. It comes out the same thing. It comes out, practically speaking, the same thing. That whether he's on the trunk or whether he's on the branches, he's safe. But it's just a different way of understanding, as Rashi's understanding.
Right.
It's just a difference of how we understand the word af achra nois, that it means sometimes the trunk can be considered an entity unto itself. Sometimes we go also according to the branches, meaning we ignore the trunk and focus on the branches. Either way, it comes out to the same thing. It's just a different way of expressing the same.
You don't have criteria to decide when you look at the trunk.
Always, you always go according to whatever way is going to be a chumra on the goyel adam. Just as with mice, so we always go according to the chumra of whatever it's going to be, eating it or being poyed as the case may be. Mishnah says, What if now the Ritzeach is in an Ir Mikvot, and then he kills somebody else for Shogig in the same city again? So then, Golot Mishchuna Lashchuna. Then he has to go in Golot from one neighborhood to another one within the city.
What's
he killed before, outside, and he ran to the Ir Mikvot, and he was sentenced to the Ir Mikvot. Now, within that city, he killed somebody else. So he has to go to the Shogig, obviously. So then he has to go into Golot in another neighborhood within that city. Well, Ben Levi, Gula Meir Le'ira. Ben Levi, who lived in the city and killed the Shogeg, he has to go and go to a different city. The difference is, actually, says the case is that he's not allowed to leave the first city. Therefore, of necessity, he just has to move to another neighborhood. Ben Levi wasn't sentenced there in the first place. He was free to go whenever he wanted. Now, therefore, he has to go to another city. We learn in the Gemara says, Tanarabon, we learn in the Braisa. The pasuk says, that according to the shogeg, the pasuk says, "Samti l'chom makom asher yonus shama." I will establish for you a place where he will run there. So the samti l'chom means b'chayecha. When it says "I will place for you," means while you're still alive. So Rashi says it means that the Eibishter by this is promising Moshe that within your lifetime you will see Orem Mikvot established, as we learned before that Moshe set aside the first three Orem Mikvot. Other Mepharshim say that no, the Samti L'chol B'chayecha means this that we're going to learn in a minute, that during the time they were in the Midbar they could run away to Machna Levia. As I mentioned this the other day, I didn't remember a marker for it. It's right here in Or Gemara. So that means b'chayecha means while you, Moshe, are alive, you will see there will be a place for the Rotsim to run away to also, namely Machna Levia. Same thing. So you have to go through a different part of Machna Levia, I guess. Same idea, like we said in Or
Gemara. Why some Machna Levia? Why not?
Because where else did it have Or Gemara? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Makom, when the Pasuk says a place, means mimakomcha, meaning that it's your place, your Moshe Rabbeinu's place, meaning Machna Levia. And when it says Ashigonus Shama, when it says that you should run away there, Malaman Chal Yisro Magvan Mamidbar, this means that the Jewish people would send people into Golos while they were in the Midbar, if they killed the Shogi. Lahechan Magvan Lamachna Levia, namely they would send them off to Machna Levia. They would live among the Levia. Mikan Amru, based on this, we said, Ben Levi Shahorah Golan Pelachu Pelach, that if a Ben Levi killed, he goes into Golos from one Pelach to another. Pelach, Rashi says, means Medina, means one country or one region. There's other explanations. Another explanation is that Pelach means a city. The Rambam, by the way, has a different explanation of this Ben Levi Goyle Meir Leir. The Rambam's understanding of it is that if a Ben Levi killed outside of his city, let's say a Ben Levi killed is one day outside of his city, working in the fields or whatever, and accidentally kills somebody, fine, he can run away to his own city, the very city that he lived in all this time. Now he just becomes a Retzeach in that city. However, if he killed within the city, Then he has to go to Golos in a different city.
Also in the section where there are the Levim.
No, one of the other 47 cities. That's one of the other 48 cities.
Yeah.
Levim, yeah. But in other words, when do we say that he's able to go within his own city? That's Vim Golos. That's the mission of the Gemara continues. The Brayta continues. Vim Golos Pilcho Pilcho Kelas Kolto. If he runs away to his own Pelach, to his own city or to his own region, then his Pelach, his Kolot, saves him. So again, according to so there's a few different explanations in this. Again, one is that the Tosfos over here and Zvachim, there's a Gemara on this, and Zvachim explains that what it means is the Levi has the option. If a Levi kills, he has an option. He can go to his city, but in that case, he will be barred from his original neighborhood. He will have to go to the new neighborhood in his own city. In fact, the Meiri discusses, does it mean that he's only allowed to be in that neighborhood, or does it mean he can be in any other neighborhood except the original one that he lived in? So that's one option. The other option is he can go to another city, and in that case, he has free reign throughout the city. That's how Tosfos understands it. The Rambam understands it rather than what it means is if Ben Levi kills outside his city, then Pilko Telat, so he can go to his very own city where he's been living all this time, and that'll become his Ibn. But if he killed within the city, then he has to adapt to go to a different city. Omer of Achabredi Ravik, a micro, where the prophet that expresses this idea that we said that a Retzeach goes from one Shchunah to another, or that Ben Levi can go to his own city or to a different city, as the case may be. Because the Pasuk says, Kib Im Mikvot Yeshe, the Pasuk says he should live in his Im Mikvot, implying Ir Shekolak Tekvah, which is a city that already was Kolatim, can be Kolatim again. So again, then he moves to a different neighborhood within it. Okay. Mishnah says, Kayoti Loi, similarly, Ritzeach should, now what does similarly mean, let's learn the Mishnah, and then we'll talk about it. Ritzeach should go to the Irmikot. If a Ritzeach goes into Golos to his Irmikot, Virotu Amshe Irlachabdo, and the people of that city want to give him some kind of honor, they want to give him an honorable position or whatever. Yomalahem Ritzeach. I mean, you should tell them, I'm a Ritzeach. I'm not supposed to receive such an honor.
No.
Omru Loi Alpapikain, and if they tell him, nevertheless, we still want to give you that honor, Yikabo Mehen, then he's allowed to accept it. And he only has to object once. As the Pasuk says, this is the word of the Retzeach. The meaning of it, there's a word that he has to tell them, namely that he's not deserving of covenant. Yeah. So now, what's the Kayotzi value over here? So there's a couple of different explanations among the Mepharshim. As a matter of fact, actually, the Haggadah Tabach says the words Kayotzi don't even belong to the Mishnah. He attaches them to the end of the Gemara.
When it said that, it said Kibbutz Im L'Klotei Yeshiv, Ir Shekol Tafta Kvar Kayotze Boy, meaning a city that similarly had already accepted it. And then our Mishnah would begin Ritzeach Shegolah L'Irmifah. There's a couple of other explanations, but one of them is actually the Tosfos Yom Tov says very simply. Our Mishnah is actually not only in our Masechta over here in Matis, this first part of the Mishnah that we said over here is also in Masechta Shviz. And the context is over there. It says there that when it comes after Shemitah, we know that Shemitah is suffering if he didn't make a prusable or what have you. So now if a guy comes after Shemitah and wants to repay his loan, you have to tell him, Shemitah already passed. It's already been forgiven. If he says, Achal Pitein, if he says, nevertheless, I want to give you, then you're allowed to take it. But this is Dvar HaShemitah.
You have to say
the first time that, but then
like, yes.
So that's the Kayotzid Boy. Then the mission continues. Similarly, with the Ritzayach, he has to object the one time, but not after that. So therefore, when it's quoted and when this mission is brought over here, then it used the same expression Kayotzid Boy that it does over there.
Yes.
Because over there it belongs over there because it's saying Shviyas and Kayotzid Boy Ritzayach. Okay. Continues the mission. Malim Hoyus Chalavim. They used to pay Char to Levim. Divir Rabbi Hoya. So says Rabbi Hoya. What is this Char?
Rashi says that it means that the citizens of the city would pay the Levim. Namely, the Rotschim are renting houses from the Levim who live in the city. Therefore, the city would pay the Levim to house the Rotschim.
So it's
effectively what it means is that we pay the rent for the roof.
That's
the point of that.
That's the end of the book.
Yeah,
the
book. Yes. So according to Rashi's explanation, what it means is that the city would
effectively would be paying the rent for the roof. They would be paying the levium. Tosfos explains what it means. What it means is that the roitzchim have to pay city taxes. Even though you would think it's a xeris hakoster that they have to live there, maybe they shouldn't be required to pay taxes toward the maintenance and upkeep of the city because they're forced to live there. Nevertheless, the chiddush is Rabbi Hoda is saying that they have to do that. The Rambam has a third
reason. That's the point that we said. That's what Malam has power of being means. That's what it means. The Rambam has a third explanation, which is Malam has power of being means that the roads from themselves have to pay rent. So we have three different explanations. Rashi is that the city pays the roads from rent. Tosfos is the roads from have to pay city taxes.
And the Rambam's explanation is the roads come have to pay rent.
In other words, they have to work. They work and they make money.
Yeah,
they can live.
Yeah, of course. Rav Meir Omer Lo Hayu Malum Hamskar. Rav Meir says they do not have to, according to any of these three explanations. Rav Meir would say that the city doesn't pay the Roitzkim's rent. Tosfos would say the Roitzkim don't have to pay city taxes. And the Rambam would say that Rav Meir means that the Roitzkim don't have to pay rent. Another machloek is between them.
So what's the din is a coincidence, the
halacha is a coincidence of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rambam paskins in accordance with his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that it means the roads come out to pay rent. But we'll see in the Gemara, it depends. There's different kinds of cities in that regard, so wait. And another machloek is between Rameyer and Rabbi Yehuda. V'choyze l'sror shahi abad divir Rameyer. Rameyer says, eventually, when the Ritzeach returns to a city, when the Kohen Gadol dies, he can resume the office, the position that he had before. Let's say Rashi says he was a Nasi, or an Av Beis Din, or whatever, or a Rosh Beis Av, he was the head of a group of Kohenim, or whatever, then he can resume that position when he's out of the Ir Miklat. So says Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a lawyer, I'm a Chodzer of the Surah Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yehuda says he does not.
He never goes back
to that position. And again, the halacha is like that. And the Rambam says the reason is because such a terrible thing happened through him, that a murder happened, even though it was b'shogeg or whatever, therefore he doesn't deserve to get back his original position. By the way,
it's not a covet.
Yeah.
They take somebody who kills somebody.
Well, okay.
Make it the president.
By the way, though, I think the Ritzvah says that everybody would agree you can't give him a new position. To take back the old position, that's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir. But to give him a new position, that for sure not.
Like the politicians.
Yeah.
Right?
So what can he do?
He goes back to being a regular balabas, but he can't be a Nazi.
He cannot be in
government. Omer Rav Kahana, machloikas b'sheish. Now this machloikas about whether they pay rent or whether the city pays rent for them or whatever is talking about in the six big cities. We learned before you had the six main Orem Mikos, and then you had the other 42 where Levium lives.
Three
in Eber Hayad and three in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
So the machloikas, whether they pay rent, is we had Kedesh, Shechem, and Chebron in Eretz Yisrael proper, and Betzer, and then Romesh, Gilad, and Golan in Eber Hayad. So in those six is the machloikas, whether you pay rent or not. The mar sova lochem l'klija, namely when the pasuk says that the city should be lochem for you. So one opinion holds that it means l'klija, that they're there for you to be for protection. But other than that, you have to pay your rent, you have to pay your rent and taxes and whatever. Or mar sova, whereas your mayor would hold lochem l'chol tzorcheichem. It means for you, for all your needs. In other words, that he shouldn't have it. It's meant for all the possible needs that they could have. And therefore, they shouldn't have to pay rent.
Like a king.
Yeah. Avoba, Boy Mushtayim, but in the other 42 cities, Levim, Divra Hakal Hayamal Manskar. Then Rav Kahana says everybody would agree that they pay rent or taxes or what have you. Amalei Rava, so Rava says, what do you mean? Havade Lachem Lachol Tzorcheichem Mashma. What do you mean? The word Lachem for sure means Lachol Tzorcheichem, that the cities are there for all purposes that you should need. So therefore, nothing should have to be paid. So therefore, they shouldn't have to pay taxes or rent or whatever. Ella, Amar Rava, no. Rava says the other way around. Machloikas by Boy Mushtayim. Machloikas in our Mishnah is in the 42 other cities. The Marsav of Aleim Titnu, namely that Rav Meir holds that when the pasuk says you have six cities and then on top of them you add another 42 for the Levium, it kind of makes a heckish between them. Kihanach Leklita, Valeim Titnu, Kihanach Leklita, meaning they're just like the other six as far as that they save the Ritzeach, but only that. They're not compared as far as anything else, as far as taxes and rent. That would be Rabbi Yehuda. Well, Mar Sava, Valeim Titnu, Kihanach, whereas your mayor would hold Valeim Titnu means to compare them across the board. Mahanach Lechotza, Maninam Lechotza, just as the six are available for you for all your needs, so also the other 42, and therefore you shouldn't have to pay rent. But when it comes to the original six, everybody would agree that they don't have to pay rent or taxes, and that taka is a halacha in the six cities, according to the Rambam. Again, the Rambam's understanding of the machlokas is whether the roads come up to pay, have to pay rent to the Levim. In the six cities, they do not. In the 42 cities, they do.
And that's because?
Because the difference is, because the six are lochem, meaning l'chol tzorcheichem, they're meant for all you need. Whereas the other 42 are sort of auxiliary over there. They're compared as far as that they all protect the Ritzeach, but not as far as that they say, I shouldn't have to pay rent. Then we said in the Mishnah, Choyza L'Sura Shehoyim Bachola, we said that the Ritzeach returns to the original position that he held, according to the mayor, and according to the Yehuda, he doesn't. Turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa, in a similar vein, when you have a similar kind of machlokas when it comes to an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, after he finishes his 6 years or 50 years or whatever it is. The pasuk is v'shav el mishpach. So the pasuk says he should return to his family, v'alachuzas avoyt of Yashuv, and he should return to the inheritance of his fathers, meaning l'mishpach de'gushav, v'enishav l'mashach ziku avoyt. The implication is he returns to his family, but he doesn't return to the position that his fathers held, the hereditary position that he had before. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says.
Because it's a shame, because
he was an Eved. Rabbi Meir, v'alachuzav l'mashach ziku avoyt. Rav Meir says, no, he does return to what his fathers had a chazak on, because when it says alachuzas avoytav, means kavoytav. When it says he returns to his father's inheritance, means exactly like his father's. V'chein v'goyla, and we have a similar machlokas when it comes to somebody who goes to the Ir Mikla. K'ru'oma Yoshu, so you have the same machlokas, as we said, in our Mishnah. K'ru'oma Yoshu v'l'rabas z'arteach, and how do we know that? Because when the pasuk says, by the Eved Ivri, v'shava mishpachtet, v'alachuzas avoytav Yoshu, the word Yoshu is extra, that comes to teach us the same concept applies to the Reteach, that when he returns from the Ir Mikla. My v'chein v'goyla, so what do we mean by these words, v'chein v'goyla, the same thing applies to a goyla, means k'detanya, as we learn in another braisa. Yoshuv ha-retzeach al eretz achuzasoi, when it says the retzeach should return, can return to the land of his inheritance, again, la-eretz achuzasoi hushav ve'enashav l'mashach ziku avoytav, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says it means he returns to the actual land, but only to the actual land, not to the position that his father's held. Rav Meir, ha-achuzasoi l'mashach ziku avoytav, Rav Meir says he can return also to what his father's had a chazaka of the position. Why? Gomer shiva mehosam, because he learns by exeter shava of the Yoshuv from the other place. Just like he says by the Eved Ivri that he returns to his position, because he understands that's what Ve'alachuzas Havoyt of Yashu means. He returns fully to the Srara, to the position that his father has held. And you have Yashu over there, you have Yashu here by the Goyla, and therefore he makes a Zera Shava. He makes a Zera Shava that what applies to one applies to the other one. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that. Rabbi Yehuda says that when it says that Ve'alachuzas Havoyt of Yashuv does not mean he returns to his father's Yerusha. It only means he returns to his family. and then to his land, his inheritance, or whatever, but not to his surah. And the same thing by the Gomer, which is what he says in Omnishan, and he doesn't return to the surah. Yeah, so therefore he doesn't return to the surah.
From the Gomer to the...
Well, you give him
well,
the
they're both.
You give them that comment after the coin dies?
According to the mayor, yes. According to the beholder, no.
They do the Shabbat
and Yom Kippur. No, so actually Tosafot says that only the mayor. So Tosafot says only the mayor needs the Gzeirah Shavah. The beholder does not need the Gzeirah Shavah because he says, anyway, you don't have anything saying in the Pasuk that he should return to his father's position of before. You have that he returns to Eretz HaKuzasai. And you have in each one. If you have a miut, that means only he returns to his father, to his family, or returns to his physical inheritance or whatever, but not to his surah. So the mayor, who understands that it means in the one case that he returns to the surah, he needs the Gzeirah Shavah to say it's true in the other case.
Rabbi
Yehuda would say by never, he doesn't return to the surah.
And he doesn't.
Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't need it. Yeah. Okay. Hadron Allah Eloin, I guess.